Chris speaks to Eddie Elmhurst and uncovers his fascinating background and a career that takes him across the globe.
I'm about to interview Eddie Elmhurst, who has been with Chatterbox as a sound recordist for several years. After a varied and interesting career in television and following his passion for cars. Eddie, I think that you've told me that the Elmhursts originated in Yorkshire. Is that right?
That is right. Yes, many, many years ago though, now.
And gravitated towards Lincolnshire.
And gravitated to Lincolnshire in the late 1600s. And they had, for some reason, they had some lands and so forth. And
a memorial in Woodhall Spa.
And a memorial in Woodhall Spa. But most of the Elmhursts latterly are from the 1800s that I... Well, in fact, I know this right back to the 1300s, but the Elmhursts of Lincolnshire, they were basically in the army, you know, from about 1780, 1790, right up until about, I suppose, 1920, I suppose. And so that was my... mother's father, who was in the Norfolks. His father was in the Royal Norfolks. He was actually a Lieutenant General in the Royal Norfolks and fought in the First Afghan War in 1842. I used to have all his medals and various Afghan bits and pieces, which are all in the Regimental Museum of Norwich at the moment.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So you never tempted to follow in your ancestors' footsteps?
Then. I wanted to. As explained, I was sent off to boarding school because I was a bit hot to handle by my mother at age 13. I sent off to boarding school and went to the army section first of all, and I played bugle in the band, and everybody wants to play the drums, but I had to play the bugle. So I was in the military band, and then after a year or so, I went into the air section, which I absolutely loved, and got very keen on the air cadets, and I thought...
But your mother wasn't mad keen on you joining the Royal Air Force.
No, not at all. So I said to my housemaster, don't let my son do this. And so I was steered away from that, and
By this time, you were living in Finchley, were you?
By that time, I was living in... I was living in Whetstone, actually.
Oh, I know.
Whetstone. Yeah, Whetstone at age 12 or 13.
And then after school at Wellingborough... you then did various things.
I did... I studied electrical engineering for about a year or so. And I was very keen on cars and persuaded my mother to buy me a motor car. She said, you certainly can't have a motorbike, so I'll fund you for a car. And to help pay my mother back, I started working at a local garage during the holidays and so forth. And I got so interested in the car business that I left electrical engineering and got involved with girlfriends, etc., etc. And so that was that, really. And so my boss had a couple of... Kubelwagens, that's the German Jeep which we used during the Second World War, also an amphibious VW as well. And an article appeared in the Motorsport magazine, and the editor had written this article about it. MGM, the film company, saw this article, rang up my boss and said, would he hire these vehicles out for this film that they were making? And there I was in this film. And as I say, my boss said to me, I don't want my any old driver to get in my cars and bugger the gearbox up, you know. So anyway, there I was, age 19, in Germany.
Extraordinary.
It was. Anyway, so I went to a party that night, and we did several of these recordings, there were several sequences. In fact, the film, by the way, is called Password is Courage, and I actually have a photograph. The daughters have the film, Samantha has the film, and I have a shot of me driving this vehicle with an actor. He was a German officer. So, as I say, I went to a party that evening, and there was this rather thespian lady there. She said, oh, Edmund, I can see you in the film business. I hear you're interested in photography and music. You ought to have perhaps even think about it. You found it quite exciting on that. Yes, I do quite like it, I said. And anyway, my father-in-law gave me a book on documentaries. It was an advertising book, I wrote to all these documentary companies and ITV companies to see if I can get an interview. I eventually got an interview. It was very difficult to get a job, but anyway, 2 years later, 2 or 3 years later, I was able to get into the television industry.
So you started with ABC Television?
I started with ABC Television in 1966. So that was really my, you know...
Which was, of course, was the forerunner of Thames Television.
That is correct, yes.
Yeah. And then you were there until 1980.
I was indeed, yes.
And then you came to Norwich to work for Anglia Television.
That is correct, yes, indeed.
What prompted the move?
A variety of things. Say, my roots are in Lincolnshire and Yorkshire, and I thought I would probably like to come back to my roots. Well, my elder daughter, she was just about to change school, and I thought, well, it's a good time to perhaps move, really. And in reality, it has been quite a good move for the children, rather than go to not-so-good schools in North London. You know, they couldn't afford any private schools. So we moved up here in 1980. Really.
But you always retained your interest in cars.
I've always been interested all my life, and I'm still am, and... even 16, 17 years ago, I went on the Monte Carlo Rally, helping out on the technical side with Jim Deacon, who you may know.
I do, I do, yes.
Someone rang me up 17 years ago and said, I understand you're fairly know your cars. Is there any chance, he said, this chap, he said, I go in for the Monte Carlo Rally. Would you like to help me on the technical side? And I thought it was one of my mates winding me up, but in reality it was not. And off we went. And from then on, my whole... life, social life has changed.
Opened a few doors.
Is it?
Yeah, amazing.
All boring.
Amazing. And then in the late 80s, you went into documentaries.
Yes, I did. That was quite interesting. Not such a technical job, Chris. That was quite interesting. We'd have a director, a cameraman, and a sound recorders, and a lighting chap, you know. And essentially we did... documentaries for Anglian Television all around the country, and southern Scotland, working with John Timpson, doing country churches. We did religious programmes. We worked on religious programmes from the birth of Christianity, from St Ninian's Cave, all along Havens Wall, right over to the Farne Islands. That was quite fun. A little Morris Thousand. Over a 3 week period, we did that. That car broke down. I was able to fix it one Sunday morning with the vicar behind me praying, will I get it working?
And that included three visits to the home of Geoffrey and Mary Archer.
Oh, yes, three visits to there. And that was probably 5 years after the Falklands, where we interviewed Colonel Brown's widow, and she read a passage out for the Sunday church services, at which Harry Seacombe was sort of comparing, basically. You know.